Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at fitgersbookstore.com. The book we're taking a look at this week is called Stolen from the Garden, The Kidnapping of Virginia Piper. The author is William Swanson, and he joins us on the phone this morning. William, good morning.
Nice to be with you, Lisa.
Nice to have you on the
line. Please call me Bill.
Okay. So, Bill, the kidnapping took place in 1972, and fortunately, Virginia Piper was found alive a couple of days later. Why is the story still a story and a mystery after 42 years?
Well, it's a fascinating story because for several reasons. It is a mystery because the million-dollar ransom extorted from Virginia Piper's husband has never been recovered. About $4,000 in stray $20 bills is all that has ever been recovered over the past 40 decades. So where is that $1 million? More important, perhaps, is who done it. Two men were eventually, after 5 years of extensive FBI investigation, arrested and tried. They were convicted in the original trial. That verdict was overturned. They were tried again and acquitted. So nobody has spent a day in prison on account of this crime. So it's still very much a mystery, at least on two fronts.
How might the case, we watched way too many police procedurals and read way too many police procedurals.
Yes.
But how would the case be handled differently, do you think, if it were to occur today?
I'm not sure it would be handled too differently in the basic police investigation techniques. They would still, the FBI would be involved. They would still be talking to whomever they felt had some information about the case. In the Piper case, they interviewed more than 1,000 suspects over the course of 5 years. That shoe leather aspect of the investigation would be the same. What would be different is once the case moves toward trial, the handling of the forensic evidence. We have DNA testing now, which was not available in 1972. And I don't think there would be any whodunit in 2014 if we had had DNA testing at the time. Unfortunately, that forensic evidence was either destroyed or tossed out following the second trial. So there was no way to submit it to modern technology after the fact.
Would there have been more sophisticated ways, perhaps, of marking the money? Again, I'm basing this all on my extensive knowledge of police procedure from television. But would there have been a way to perhaps make the money more traceable?
Well, certainly they could have marked it in those days. There was technology that would have allowed them to mark it. The kidnappers, however, in their ransom note made it clear that they were prepared to examine the money for any such marking, and the FBI took them at their word. These were clearly pretty sophisticated people. What they did, though, is create a little booklet that contained the serial number of each of the $20 bills. This ransom was all in $20 bills that was given to the kidnappers, and it's those serial numbers that had been traced and found among the few $20 bills that were recovered.
Just out of curiosity, how big is $1 million in $20 bills?
Well, it filled to the bursting a canvas bag made specifically for this ransom delivery. It weighed 110.5 pounds, according to the bankers who put this together, and it was roughly the size of a standard soldier or sailor's duffel bag. I think people can envision that. It was big and it was heavy, and Bobby Piper, Jenny's husband, said that he could barely lift it out of the trunk when he was required to make the transfer.
Is there a statute of limitations on kidnapping?
Yes, there is, and the two arrests that were eventually made were made only 16 days before the five-year federal statute of limitations expired. The state statute on kidnapping is only 3 years. So you cannot be tried for this case anymore, for this crime anymore. You could be arrested if you were caught passing any of these $20 bills, if in fact they remain.
Do you think that the same attention would have been paid if the family had not been so wealthy? Especially since she was returned more or less unharmed.
Yeah. I unfortunately think there is an attraction in the media then and as now with wealthy people and with famous people and with prominent people. They're always going to get more attention in the media, I think, than folks like you and me. That's just the way of the world. The fact that in those days headlines routinely referred to wealthy women as socialites and wealthy men as tycoons simply reinforced the kind of imagery that attracted people to people of prominence.
Is there anything that folks can learn, whether law enforcement reads the book or, as you say, just regular people? Is there anything that folks can learn from this story and kind of take forward?
Well, if there is, that was not my intention, Lisa. My books are not didactic. I'm trying to tell a story rather than instruct. And I think, you know, any well-done piece of journalism is going to be instructive de facto. It tells us more about human nature, how people respond in crisis situations. And these are, you know, as wealthy as the Pipers are and were, they're ordinary people. They're people who don't walk around thinking they're going to be kidnapped or have $1 million extorted from them. They're people who go to work in the morning and play tennis in the evening sometimes, and so these are ordinary people in moments of trauma, and that's always a subject that interests me as a writer. I don't know what you could learn beyond what I just mentioned.
Now, again, in television and books, when someone is kidnapped, the FBI dashes in and they tell them, you're not going to pay a ransom. You can't pay the ransom.
Right.
Would that aspect of the case be handled differently now, do you think?
Well, not necessarily. The FBI did not want Bobby Piper to pay that ransom. They felt that they lost their opportunity to catch the perpetrators of this crime. If Bobby went ahead and paid the ransom, they wanted to hide an agent in Bobby's trunk. They wanted to follow, tail, and they did, although they lost him during the delivery run. But they didn't want it to happen this way, and they were absolutely convinced, based on their experience, that Jenny Piper would be found dead in the trunk of the kidnapped car. They fully expected that.
Well, that obviously was an unusual and happy ending. Bill, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hate it when we run out of time so quickly, but we are out of time. Appreciate your taking some time to shed some light on your book for us.
My pleasure, Lisa. Thank you very much for having me.
Bill Swanson is the author of a book called Stolen from the Garden, The Kidnapping of Virginia Piper. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street, online at fitgersbookstore.com.